He is. Say that. He is.
He is.
He is. He is. He's the only one that is capable of handling your worship and surviving. We want to point our worship at so many different things. And everything we point our worship at that's not God crumbles. It disappoints us. It lets us down. It's not built. We have this longing to know God and be known by God. We have this longing to connect with God. We have this longing, even if we're atheists, there's this longing we've got to figure that spot out in our spirit, in our soul. And he is. You know, when Moses was walking through the desert, he saw a bush. And what was funny, kids, you know what was funny about the bush? What was going on with that bush? It was burning. Well, what's funny about that? Lots of things burn. You guys are scared to give the wrong answer. I'm not going to bite this morning. It wasn't burning up. It kept burning, but it caught his attention. And he spoke to God in that moment. And God was recommissioning him, sending him back to Egypt. And he wanted to know, hey, who should I say is calling, right? Like, I'm a little nervous about going back there and walking back into the lion's den after being gone for a while. And pretty much I was highly wanted when I left. So, you know, could I get a name, please, right? We went to Fargo yesterday and tried lots of restaurants. We went to Texas Roadhouse at 2:30, and we went to check in, and they told us that 4:30 they could seat us. But they're looking for a name. Who are we calling here? And he said, "I am that I am." And we're like, okay. Like, any more? Like, do you got something else? And like, God's like, no, I am that I am. What does that mean? It means if all else was gone, I am. You remove all of your fancy little ideas, I am. You think about me what you want to think about me, it doesn't matter. I am. I cannot change. I am, in the words of Popeye, I amsk what I amsk, and that's all that I amsk. That was the blue-collar version. Man, I'm getting lots of shake no's on that one. I've got more no's on the Popeye joke than I have. And if God could say that's all that, he can't change who he is. He's the creator of all things. He's the Lord of the universe. He is. I was trying to think of a famous story that everybody would know. I was trying to think of nursery rhymes or like fairy tales or Disney stories or whatever. And I thought, since we're in church, we'll just go with a spiritual one. David and Goliath, you guys know that story? Okay. Some of those people don't know it over there. So the premise is that Israel was a nation, right? It was God's people, and they were kind of at war. War happened all the time back then, and bad things happened. When you got taken over by another country, it just didn't mean that someone else was in charge. It meant you couldn't worship your gods most often. Most often, your wives and homes were taken. You know, like it was a bad deal. And so they're in this battle with the Philistines, and they, in order to spare some lives, they, you know, it was kind of common back then. They'd send out their best warrior, and the other team would send out the other people. Yeah, it's a good thing we weren't fighting for the Vikings, right? They would send out their best warrior, and two people would, you know, one of like 50% of them would lose their lives, you know, which would be one person instead of thousands or tens of thousands. And so that was one of the ways that they canceled out some of the bloodshed. And so Goliath is out there taunting God, you know, taunting the people. And, right? You guys know that story?
Yes.
Are you with me? Yes. Right? Okay, I felt like I lost you for a second. Right? So there's this huge crowd of people, right? A big auditorium, you know, out in the open, out in the wild. And there's this guy. Every morning he would come out and, "Where's your God? Ha ha." You know, whatever he said. That's how the big pickle sounded on the one shows. So we kind of know that story, but what if that story was told from a young child of one of the Philistine soldiers, for instance? Just picking someone at random. And that's like, what if you heard the story of David and Goliath from that perspective. It'd be kind of, it would be pretty weird. I was just at home with my mommy, and my daddy was off to war, and we went to visit daddy because we have the best giant person fighter in the world. But then this little kid, right? And like, and then we all ran away, and you know, because they served different gods. Like, it would be an entirely different story. And there may have been accurate parts about it, but the conclusion would have been wrong. See, we get that story from the Word of God, which we believe is truth. It's truth. Say truth. And what we're seeing is we're seeing an insight that other people might not have, because we're seeing the insight from the creator of the universe who oversaw the writing of that word. It was inspired by the Holy Spirit. So do you see how we would get a very different story and a very different conclusion to that story? So that means, you know, the little boy would write that Israelites are mean people and whatever and whatever, and now we can't worship our gods anymore. Like that's the story that you would come, that's a conclusion that you would make. But when you get an insight with truth and you get things set where they're supposed to be set, we see the story as it actually played out, because God's got the final say on these things because he's the creator of all these things. Here's what we do in our life. Everything that has ever happened to you, you recall that from your perspective. You know what we like to do? We like to put ourselves as the sun revolves around the earth, right? I mean, not true, but like that's how we like to write it. So we like to write ourselves in as the hero. We like to write ourselves in as the victim. We like to write ourselves in as the forgotten one. We like to write ourselves in as the chosen one, right? We get to write the narrative of our lives. How many times are we writing the story of the little Philistine boy that doesn't quite have all the facts and doesn't have all the insight? So what I'm saying is we often write in God, but we don't do it accurately. And this morning what we're talking about, he is. I am. And God's saying, I don't care how you're writing your story and what place that I play in there, I can't change. I am who I am. I'm unchanging. I am your healer. I am your deliverer. I am your savior. You need me. I am your humility. I am the rock that you're going to fall upon, right? I am your firm foundation. I am your hope. I am your strength. And no matter what you feel like, we're writing the story sometimes from a wrong perspective. And what God does is he brings us around and he gives us insight and he lets us see the story from his perspective. And when we line up our hearts and we surrender to what we're supposed to be, that's when we get our lives in alignment. So let's recap the deal real quick here. It was he is. So let's see if we can get this to work. Come on. Okay, Jill, every time I do this, go to another slide. Thank you. Revelations 1:4 says this. John, to the seven churches, John is writing this, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace. Hey, you guys remember that from our Philippians little letter? Grace and peace. So Revelation starts out with grace and peace to you from him. From who? From him. From this entity, this person, this, and we're talking about the Almighty God here. From him, read it with me, who is and who was and who is to come. Who is and who was and who is to come. That's how God defines himself, that I am. And whether you go into the past, whether you go into the future, or whether you're in the present right now, God is, and he's unchanging. He's unchanging. Let me just, oh, yeah, Jill, click. A little further in there, it repeats it again. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come. Like, it doesn't matter what time does. God's outside of that. Like, you have got such, there is no more firm place to plant your hopes and dreams, to get your source from. He's outside of everything else that can or will happen. Click. John 1:1-4 says, he was in the beginning, was the word. Say was. When is that? Before, yeah. It's like, it's not now. He was the Word, and the Word was, but he's given us a glimpse into the past. And in that moment, the was is, right? In that moment, the was is. He's saying, here's the is from the was. Right now, we're looking at it from the was. God's given us a glimpse into that moment where he's still at. He's still in all of those moments. And the Word was God, and the word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. And he's getting ready to talk about the Word became flesh. And he brings us to this moment. We read in Hebrews 11:6, and without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is. Say it louder.
Is.
Say it louder.
Is.
He is. He is. And that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. A lot of versions say, oh wait, that's a different verse. But I was just thinking about this, that no matter what was, and no matter what version of your was that you have written, no matter what recollections of your story, see, we view our lives from me as the center and me doing all of these things and letting God do this and whatever, and we have free will and we have this. But and we even our youth group is called Epic Youth, Let God Write Your Story, right? But actually, in all actuality, all of this is his story. It's his story. His story is he made creation. His story is he decided man shouldn't be alone and made woman. Woo! Right? His story is he created all the life, and his story is he's coming back to renew it. That's his story. Thank you for that. Yes, Callie's holding cards up for me because she can see I'm flailing here. Thank you for the help, Callie. That's his story. We're invited into his story. Now, from our perspective, it seems like our story. And we've got the free will to live out our story, but we end up being a little side note. We end up going where we're not meant to go. We end up falling out of the main narrative. See, he let us run wild and we messed it up and he sent Jesus to bring it back. And now we got to align with his story. And so I was just thinking about this, thinking that the only moment that you've got to interact with God is this one, that he is. He is right now, this moment, right here, right now. You can't change your past. Your past is glimpses of the he is in those moments. It's glimpses of he is moments. He is foreign to me because my heart is far from him. He is disappointing to me because I've got the wrong view of this story, my past. He is hurtful because I thought this should have worked out a different way. However you're writing, he is faithful because we trusted in him. It's glimpses of those, but all the spot that we've been given is the right now, this moment. You've got one moment, this one, right here, right now. Nope, that one passed. Now you've got this moment. We only have this moment to interact with God. See, he's given us promises in his word. Amen? Wait, I don't think anybody's awake anymore. I'm going to come over here. You guys are lively this morning. He's given us promises. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And you know what those promises are? They are snapshots of the he is in the future. They're little glimpses and nuggets and containers of, I promise I'm going to do this for you. And as you walk through, you're carrying that container. You're leaning on God. God, I'm trusting you. And then in that moment, he is. God, you promised that you'd come through, and now you did. He is. In this moment. In this moment. You're only given this moment. You're given promises to carry the he is into the future, and you're given glimpses of the he is in the past. But the he is right now, only we can choose this moment what we're going to do with God. So that's my admonition as we're closing out today. What are you doing with this moment? A lot of us relegate our lives to the past or to the future. Yeah, I love God, and I think God someday is going to he's going to whatever. Oh yeah, I went to church in the past, you know what? Like, my relationship with God lives in the past or it lives in the future. Where's my heart at with Jesus right now? People that come to this church, people that preach at this church are guilty of this. We push God into the future or we push him into the past. But what am I doing with the he is right now? Amen. How am I interacting with my God right now? Is my heart surrendered? Am I leaning on that rock right now? Am I trusting in him right now? The Bible says now faith is, or faith is now. Now. It's the substance of things hoped for. Faith is now. So this morning, I ask you to pull God out of the past or bring him out of the future. Not like we can have, you know what I'm saying, metaphorically. Let your heart respond to Jesus now, today. And God tells us, you know, we're dreaming, we're thinking of the future, we're planning things. Yeah, we're claiming promises, right? It's not that we ignore the future, but the only moment I have is this one right here. The only chance that I'm guaranteed that my heart is soft before God is right now. I'm not guaranteed tomorrow. I'm not guaranteed next week. I can't change the past, but I can redeem the past. All of those moments can lead up to this. Your entire past has led up to this moment, to the he is in this moment, right here and right now. We can spend our time skulking or rejoicing or living in something that happened way back then. We can spend our time dreaming and living in a land that hasn't come yet, and it's good to dream. We do it all the time. But the only moment I'm guaranteed is this one. It's this one. It's this one. Where's your heart at with Jesus this morning? Are you loving Jesus today? Today, this day. Well, Pastor, I'm gonna get my life together. I don't care about you getting your life together. Let God handle that stuff. What about saying yes to him today? What about yielding your heart right now, today, in this moment? Well, I'm working on becoming, well, good. We believe in discipleship and sanctification and moving along and growth. Absolutely. We preach on spiritual growth all the time. Absolutely. But what about this moment? What about right here, right now? Have we gotten so used to church? Have we gotten so used to the preaching? Have we gotten so used to worship? Have we gotten so used to the things that my heart just kind of goes through and it's either past or future? What about right now? This moment. Just close your eyes for a moment. God, I just ask that you would reveal yourself in our hearts today. Lord, I just pray for any one of us that just needs to make a fresh surrender of our lives to you this morning, that you would just tug on our hearts. I pray for those of us that need to know who you are today, that you would be the I am in this moment today. You would be our rock. You would be our fortress. You would be our repentance. You would be our life. You would be our redeemer. You would be our salvation, God. You'd be our healer. You'd be our provision. You'd be our source. You'd be our strength. You'd be our encourager. You'd be our comfort. You'd be our life sustainer. You'd be our prayer answerer. You would be the creator in our lives, God. You are who you are. You cannot be changed. Help us to fit into your mold. Help us to surrender to you, God. Yes. We just say yes today. All across this place, we just say yes. You are who you are, God. We worship you today. I just pray for this people that you would reveal your heart to them and that we would have this God moment here today in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen.